Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on credit cards when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season or multiplied gold and silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush, our president, said that what Americans wanted, though, was jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is not measured in jobs, 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 but rather real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. Not jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business and sales, not in public business or jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect the benefits of the Old Covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called real property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you want to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on my CD Homeschool for Adults and order my free General Law CD package while you're at it. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that phone number, area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email to request that free General Law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about credit cards. And I said last time that credit cards are a theft. They work a theft upon you. And you're concerned about credit card identity theft, and that this thief, this dirty, low-down, no-good identity thief over here is going to rob you. And people are really excited about that, and they're just really worried about it. So I reported to you. I said, well, there's 21 ways for these guys to steal from you. But the truth of the matter is, if somebody stole your identity and ripped you off for $10,000 or $15,000, he hasn't harmed you near as much as the bank has, because the bank is going to steal the same amount of money, but they're going to do it over and over and over again. Yeah, the bank is going to do the same thing to you, but they're going to do it multiple times. And you're going to love the bank for stealing from you, but you're going to hate the identity thief. And that's because the identity thief can only steal from you arithmetically. The bank is stealing from you geometrically. And I mentioned the last time, Americans think in constant dollars. They don't think in purchasing power. They don't think geometrically. They're mad at Jews because Jews think geometrically rather than arithmetically. And so the Jew is over here making money by use of property. Well, oftentimes he'll probably use some methodology to steal from you that you don't know about and you're not aware of, and it may or may not include property. But nevertheless, people get really excited about some things, like the war in Iraq. People are just really intensely excited about 3 or 4 or 5 Americans getting killed over in Iraq every day. But down here in the American Southwest, there is an invasion going on of about 500,000 Mexicans a year coming into the United States, illegal aliens. Those illegal aliens kill 12 people every day, twice as many as they kill in Iraq. And while your mind and while your attention is focused on Iraq, because that's what Katie keeps reporting to you. See, Katie Couric and Brian Williams are part of the news media. They're not reporting upon the invasion of the United States. They're reporting upon the war in Iraq, and they're telling you how bad this war in Iraq is. Hell, that war in Iraq is nothing compared to the war that's going on in Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico, California. See, that war down in the southwestern United States, which has been conducted against us now for the last 10 years, is going to result in the destruction of the nation. It's going to result in the destruction of our civilization. What's going on over in Iraq costs a few bucks. And it's certainly not helping us, and it's not the smartest thing we ever did. But the real invasion is down in Arizona. It's not over in Iraq. And the same thing is true when we're talking about money. You know, the problem isn't with the identity thief. The problem is with the usurer. The problem is with the bank. But you don't see the bank as your enemy. You see the bank as your friend. And, of course, that's a part and parcel of what we call psychological warfare. If we can make you believe that the problem is somewhere other than the real problem, that it's something else, get your mind diverted from what the real issue is, well, we've got you. So when we're talking about the conquest of the United States of America, that's a done deal. In fact, your God warned you about that. He told you that the stranger within your gates is going to rise up high above you and bring you down very low. But you know, you go to church every Sunday, boys and girls, but you're not paying attention to your God. You're paying attention to preachers. And I'd suggest to you that you listen more to your God and less to the preachers. Now, the preachers aren't telling you about usury and interest and paper money. They're not explaining to you gold and silver and why it is that just weights and balances are essential to your economy if you're going to have subsistence and survival over a long period of time. You know, your government didn't take your gold away from you back in 1933 because they were stupid. They had a goal in mind. They've got a reason for taking your gold away. They didn't take your silver coin away from you back in 1965 for no good purpose. They took your silver coin away from you with a very intelligent, logical, straightforward, intelligent purpose. We're going to destroy you. That's the purpose behind it. Now, we get real excited about these identity thieves, but we don't get excited about those things that are really important to us, that is our economy, that is our own livelihoods. And so they're exporting our jobs to China and India. And I muse to myself from time to time, not that I'm opposed to it. I mean, evidently the American people are behind this free trade and globalization 100%. And I guess if that's what you want to do, you know, get after it. But it doesn't seem like to me to be very logical to take your $30 an hour job at General Motors and export that to China so that you can work at McDonald's for minimum wage. I don't see any logic in that, but then, you know, that's what we're doing. And I don't see any logic in a credit card, but then, you know, most Americans would look at you and say, if you told them that that credit card is bad for you, they'd look at you like, you know, you got to be mork for mork. You got to be drinking water out of it with your finger or something, you know. So I thought, well, let me explain this geometric progression today. I broached the subject with you last time. Let's take Social Security, the third rail of economics, and let me use Social Security to explain to you how this geometric progression works and why it is that the credit card works by geometric progression against you. And the credit card thief works with arithmetic progression. Now, the credit card thief is a thief. I don't deny that. But the bank is a thief, and the bank is a bigger thief, violating the laws of God in the same way. thou shalt not steal. But the bank steals in a different way. The bank is stealing from you, but you don't even know there's a problem. The Mexicans are invading your country, but you don't even know there's a problem. The Iraqis over there, you can see that problem. The credit card thief, you can see that problem, but you can't see the bank stealing from you, and so you can't see how you're being robbed. Well, let's take a look at Social Security. If you're earning the minimum wage, currently $5 an hour, you work 40 hours a week for 50 weeks a year for 45 years, with the current Social Security tax rate of 16%, you're going to pay in about $1,800 in payroll and withholding taxes. You're going to do that every year. $1,700 a year. $1,800 a year. Now, if you'd taken the same amount of money and invested that in U.S. savings bonds, which have a 5% interest rate compounded annually on the average, starting, say, in the year 2000 and continuing through 2045, you'd have a principal value of $282,000, and that would net you $14,000 a year, or about $1,200 a month forever. And then, when you die, you'd still have the same $282,000 to pass on to your children as an inheritance. Now, please note that for purposes of simplicity, I'm leaving out inflation as a factor, since your cost of living adjustments are designed to keep inflation's effects to a minimum. So if inflation is 3%, your check goes up by 3% and so on. And since the rate on banks or bonds and in your general accounts is generally higher than inflation, those totals would also go up. So by leaving inflation out of the picture, it's just so that you can get the actual numbers in your mind, we get an equally clear picture of the relative financial states without the need to do a lot of unnecessary math. Now, let's take a look at this arithmetically. Now, what I just described to you is what we call geometric progression. And the reason that your $1,800 a year that you're paying into your savings account grows from $1,800 a year to more than $250,000 over your working lifetime at minimum wage is geometric progression. That is, the interest that you're collecting in year one is also collecting 5% interest over the 44-year lifespan, and then year two over the next 43 years, and then year three over the next 42 years. It's called the magic of compounding, compound interest. You're paying interest on the interest, and then interest on the interest on the interest, and then interest on the interest on the interest on the interest, and that compounds. And that's what happens to you with the credit card. You know, the guys that are running those credit card companies and banks can count. Those are real smart people. I mean, they can count, and they don't even need their fingers. And most of us out here have been to public school, but we can't count. And nobody ever explained to us percentages, and it gets real tedious. And I've had people tell me, "Oh, Mr. Gordon, don't get into math. I'm just not very good at math." Excuse me, this isn't math, this is arithmetic. Hell, I'm not telling you how to build a bridge. We're not getting into calculus or geometry. All we're going to do is learn how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if you're a little slow, get your fingers out. You know, shucks, don't be bashful. Just because you got a degree after your name and can't count, let's get our fingers and toes out here and cooking, and I'll show you how this works. Because the banker over here is going to steal 10 times more from you than any identity thief could ever get at. And you're going to smile all the way to the bank as you're making your payments. Let me give you another side of the story. Social Security. Here's Social Security. They're taking $1,800 a year. So they're taking 16% from you. And they take that money in. And over a period of 45 years at $1,800, it's going to amount to about $80,000. So when you stop paying in and you start drawing out at age 65, you're entitled to about $500 a month. $500 a month. And then you're going to die at age 75, so you're going to be drawing about $60,000 of it out. And Social Security is going to charge you about $20,000 to administer this fund for you. and assuming that the amount that they charge you per month and the amount that you've paid in per month go at the same rates. It's a condition which is increasingly unlikely to be met. Now, no insurance company or pension fund could take your money and pay you anything less than you paid in. But Social Security is going to take $80,000 and give you $60,000 back. And you people that are on Social Security swear by Franklin D. Roosevelt and the Social Security Act. They're stealing from you every paycheck. Every time you get a Social Security check, you're getting robbed. But you believe that the government is your friend. And my God, I was watching the McLaughlin group the other day, and they got a panelist on there. And he put in this little sales pitch for Social Security. He said, God bless Social Security. There are millions of people in America that would be destitute and in poverty without Social Security. Shucks, that might even be true. I don't know. Now, I happen to know that my great-granddad, old Abe Snyder over there, he died at age 92 in 1947 without ever paying a dollar into Social Security, never drew a dollar out, and he died a fairly, you know, not wealthy guy, but, you know, he had a little money. He owned his house, and he owned a little land, and he owned a ranch or two, and, you know, he had worked all of his life, and he made a little money, and he saved it and took care of himself, and he was never on the dole. People have been doing that for thousands of years. Now, Jesus made an observation one time. He said, the poor you have with you always. The poor you have with you always. Well, I suppose that's true. I look around today and I see poor people everywhere. I reported to you last time that here in planet Earth, if you're just living on planet Earth, half the people on this planet live on $2 a day or less. Half. The other half live on $2 a day or more. And if you've got $500,000, which isn't a hell of a lot of money if you stop and think about it. I mean, most of you people have businesses. Or you'll have a house or a condominium, or, you know, you'll have stocks and bonds and inventory and things like that that probably total $500,000. If you've got $500,000, boys and girls, you are in the top 1%. 1%. 37 million people in the world have $500,000 or more. I know a lot of people that have, you know, homes and businesses and so on that are worth $500,000. Top 1%. All right. Now, the difference between geometric progression and arithmetic progression is the interest that is drawing interest. That's the difference. In the first example, I said, you're paying in $1,800 a year. So let's just take two people. Let's run this and buy you one more time. Get your fingers and toes out here. We'll take two people, both of them working at McDonald's. One guy working at McDonald's doesn't belong to Social Security, and he takes $1,800 a year, voluntarily, out of his own money, and he puts it into United States savings bonds that pay 5% interest over the next 45 years. The 5% interest compounded annually, coupled with the $1,800 a year, every year, for 45 years going into the fund, will produce a net result of $282,000 for that guy. Now let's take his coworker, taking the same $1,800 a year, making the same $5 an hour, but he belongs to Social Security. And Social Security takes his money for 45 years. He has no account at all. He has no savings, and he has no estate, but he has a right to $500 a month for the rest of his life, which on average is going to be approximately 11 years. So he's going to collect approximately $60,000 on average. Out of the $80,000 he paid in, Social Security makes $20,000, and our worker at McDonald's gets $60,000. Now, the guy who has the $282,000, he can draw out $1,200 a month, more than double what the Social Security man can draw out, paying in the same amount of money. It's just a matter of arithmetic progression or geometric progression. Let me tell you a little story here. The old timers, you know, when they were trying to teach somebody something. I didn't learn this in school, by the way. I learned this from my granddad. Learned it from my granddad. And he explained this to me when I was about 11 years old. He said a little boy was given $12 to take the horse down to the farrier and have him shoed. So back in the olden days, it used to cost $12 to shoe a horse. Now, a horse has 4 feet, so it needs 4 horseshoes. Each horseshoe has 8 holes, so it takes 8 nails to put a horseshoe onto a horse. So if you take 4 horseshoes times 8 nails, that's 32 nails. So the farrier then is going to use 32 nails and 4 horseshoes to shoe a horse, plus about an hour or two's time. It takes about an hour to shoe a horse. All right, so then the little boy goes into the farrier, and the farrier says, well, little boy, you're lucky. Today we're having a special, a sale, a discount. You're going to save money today. And here's the deal. I'm going to give you these 4 horseshoes, little boy. So here, you take the 4 horseshoes. They're free of charge. No cost to you whatsoever. And I'm going to install these 4 horseshoes on your horse, and I'm going to do it very inexpensively. I'm going to charge you 1 penny for the first nail, 2 pennies for the second nail, and 4 pennies for the third nail, and we'll just double the amount progressively each time, 32 times, until we have put the 4 horseshoes onto the horse, and then the change that's left over, you can take down to the drugstore and buy ice cream. So the little boy is very excited, you know. He says, wow! And he believes that the farrier has an honest-to-God sale, and that the farrier, the horseshoer, is doing him a big favor. So the little boy says, well, of course I'll take this deal. Of course I want this free credit card. And so he signs up, and so the farrier puts on. Now, for those of you that have never done this before, take a clean sheet of paper. So I'm going to turn this over. Now I'm going to give you a clean sheet of paper here. We're going to learn a lesson. This is what I learned when I was 11 years old from my granddad. This is geometric progression. And you take your sheet of paper. Now there's 30 lines on here. See, so you're going to have to use 2 sides of the paper here. See, but you take 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you number 1 through 32? You do that. Here's your exercise now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, now I'm going to stop here at 10 because I'm not going to carry this all the way through. I'm not going to bore you to tears here. I'm just going to give you your lesson. All right. So we take nail number 1, and that's 0.01. Can you see that? Put that down. 0.01. 1 penny for the first nail. Okay. Now the second nail over here, you put 0.02. Going to cost you 2 cents for that second nail. Can you see that? Okay. And then you go to number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just keep doubling it. 0.04. Then it's 0.08. And then it's 0.16. And then it's 0.32. And then it's 0.64. And then it's 1.28. All right. So now you've got your first horseshoe put on. And the first horseshoe, nail number 1 was 1 cent, nail number 2 was 2 cents, nail number 3 was 4 cents, nail number 4 was 8 cents, nail number 5 is 16 cents, nail number 6 is 32 cents, nail number 7 is 64 cents, and nail number 8 is $1.28. All right. Now, if you added all of that up, you'd have $2.55. So the first shoe, which was free, With the 8 nails that you now paid $2.55 to install, you're now into the project $2.55 out of your $12. Okay? You got a total $12 budget here. Okay, now let's take nail number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Let's put the second horseshoe on. What's that going to cost us? Okay? So we got $1.28, so I'm going to take 1.28 times 2, and that's the next nail costs $2.56. Can you follow that? The next one costs $5.12. The next one costs $10.24. The next one costs $20.48. The next one costs $40.96. Number 14 costs $81.92. Nail number 15 costs $163.84. Nail number 16 costs $327.68. Now we're half through shoeing the horse on this special deal. Remember? The four horseshoes are free of charge. Doesn't that remind you of a credit card that comes free interest? No interest for 6 months. It's what we call in the trade a come on. That's to get you to take the card. That's to get you to sign the contract. Now that I've got you signed up over here, I've got you locked into geometric progression. I'm going to do to you what the farrier is doing to the little boy by charging him one penny and then doubling it to 2 and doubling it to 4 and doubling it to 8. That's what the bank is doing to you with the interest rate. It's called the rule of 72. The rule of 72. Now let me show you how that one works. On the same page, now you're up to number 16. It cost you $327.68. Now, so far, you're into the deal. $655.36. That's what it's cost you so far. Nail number 16 cost you $3.27. But when you add up the other 15 nails that you've already bought and paid for, you already paid $327.67 for those nails. Add them together and you got $655.36. That's what you're in the deal so far. That's what's happening to you with your credit cards. Geometric progression. That's why God told you not to practice usury and interest, because it works a theft on everybody that practices this. Now, most of us are convinced that we can't live without credit cards. So let's take 72. Write the number 72 down there on your paper. Put a big circle around it. And then put down rule, R-U-L-E, rule of 72. Can you do that, boys and girls? All right. Now, I'm going to teach you what every Jew in America knows by the time he's 10 or 11 years old. I don't know of any Jew that I've ever come in contact with, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, as they say in the trade. Hey, I got a lot of Jewish friends. Well, maybe I've got 5. And I don't know of anybody that's in my circle of friends that doesn't understand this, but then maybe I'm unique. Maybe I only circulate with other people that understand geometric progression. But, you know, I have students that come to school here constantly, and they've got credit cards and credit card balances that multiply into many, many thousands of dollars. And I sit here amazed at these people. I mean, people that have, pretty good jobs, you know, pulling down $100,000, $200,000 a year. People that, you know, that have that $500,000, that are in that top 1%. You'd be amazed at how many people are in the top 1% of wealth possessors on planet Earth that don't understand geometric progression. Now, the rule of 72 is this. You take the interest rate. Now, let's just run this one by you. Remember we talked about the guy that has a minimum wage job, and he's taking $1,800 a year, and he's investing that at 5% into United States savings bonds. So the question arises, when he does this for X number of years, how many times is the amount of money that he's investing going to double? And the answer is 3 in 45 years. And the reason for that is we take 72 and we divide that by 5. So just take your famous Texas Instruments, Sharp EL1197 G3, Texas Instruments calculator, like I do here on my desk, and take 72 and divide that by 5, and it'll come out to 14.4. What that means is that every 14.4 years, every 14 and a half years, his money doubles. He takes his $1,800 a year, he puts it in the bank. He puts the next year, he puts another $1,800 in the bank. The third year, he puts another $1,800 in the bank. But every year that he does that, the interest is accumulating on the same $1,800 that he put in there a year ago, 2 years ago, and this year. He's getting paid interest on the interest. And that's what's happening to you with your credit cards. You're paying interest on the interest. And when you do that, the geometric progression's working against you, whereas if you're putting your money in and you're collecting interest, then the geometric progression is working with you. Now, we're going to work for 45 years. So if you take 14.4, and let's just take 45 and divide that by 14.4, and that's 3.125 times. So your money is going to double 3.125 times. So the total amount of money that you're putting into this account is going to double more than, or it's going to multiply more than 3 times. So we're going to pay in $80,000 over 45 years, $1,800 a year for 45 years, and it's going to multiply times 3. That's why you get $282,726.71, which at 5% interest is paying you $14,136.34 a year. And boys and girls, the credit card companies are not deaf, dumb, and blind to geometric progression. So not only do they have a license from Congress to steal by lending you nothing called credit that they create out of thin air, they collect the interest off of it in geometric progression, which impoverishes you. Now, this is why it is that in 1960, the average chief executive officer of a company, you know, like General Motors or General Electric, made 20 times more money than the average employee of that company. So in 1960, if you were making $5,000 a year, then the average CEO was making $100,000 a year. He was making 20 times more money than you are. Today, the average Joe Sixpack is making $50,000 a year. $50,000. And I'm going to put that in. And then we're going to multiply that times 267, which is $13,350,000. And that's what the average CEO is making today. 267 times more than you're making. Boys and girls, that's called geometric progression. Now, the difference between 1960 and 2006 is 46 years. Over the next 46 years, this geometric progression is going to continue on. And this is why the president said Social Security cannot continue. Your balance of payments deficits cannot continue on indefinitely at these rates because geometric progression is going to bankrupt it. There isn't enough money in the world to do that. Here's one last thought on this subject. Let's take one penny. At the time that Jesus was born, just take 0.01. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. If you took a penny at geometric progression, multiplying it 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and you did that every year for 2,000 years, you'd have all the wealth in the world many times over already accumulated. Now, how much is a penny doubled 32 times? The answer is $40 million. Did you know that? That's right. So when you go from 17 to 32, just keep multiplying it out, and you're going to come to $40 million. That's what it would cost you to shoe a horse if you doubled a penny from a penny 32 times. $40 million is the final answer. Boys and girls, that's what's happening to you with your credit cards. That's what happens to you when you pay interest. And that's why your Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, prohibits interest and usury. It works a theft on everybody that participates in it. And of course, the thieves are making a killing, aren't they? The thieves are just making it hand over fist. But boys and girls, the real thieves are the bankers issuing the credit cards, stealing from you geometrically. Not the thief who is stealing from you arithmetically. Because he can only steal a few bucks, but the banker can steal everything that you've got. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, we're offering a new class on health and healing, which covers the alternative healing methods being used for the treatment of healing of, say, degenerative diseases like cancer and multiple sclerosis and all of these copyrighted and trademarked diseases referred to in the Bible as the botch of Egypt, which now affect, by the way, about 50% of us. About one American out of every two is now affected by cancer in his lifetime. And we want to show you how to prevent these degenerative diseases and use the application of essential oils, super nutrition food containing nutrients, and fewer calories. And the class also includes hands-on teaching, the paperwork, allergic reaction testing and training so you can do it at home, acupressure application and training so you can find the pressure points, and much, much more. The class is coming February 5th through the 9th. It's a 5-day school here in Isabel. If you're interested, then call my wife, Jackie, at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Keep in mind now that this lady, my wife, is a 28-year cancer survivor, and she'll show you how to rather than what to. How to. Here's the way you cure cancer. Well, here's the way you cure the botch of Egypt, because it's against the law to cure cancer. Did you know that? Cancer is a copyrighted trademark disease. It's a trademark that belongs to the AMA. And we can't do that, but we can sure show you how to deal with the botch of Egypt. All right. Now we're talking about geometric progression. What we're really concerned with is credit card fraud. Credit card fraud. And when you look up credit card fraud, and there was a real neat story that you should get, and probably cost you about $30, but it was on Frontline. And they did a story on credit card companies. Now, they didn't tell you the behind-the-scenes story about the credit card companies and geometric progression and how the credit card companies are stealing from you. They're talking about credit card fraud and about the credit card companies and how they entice you into getting these credit cards and how they make money off of the credit cards and so on. And it was a real expose. It's a real eye-opener is what it really boils down to. And they're not telling you not to get credit cards. But they're going to tell you that the credit card industry really took off when the governor of South Dakota, I forgot his name now, but he's mentioned and he's interviewed, in fact, on the Frontline documentary. And to get a Frontline documentary, just call your local public TV station and ask them, what's the address for Frontline? I don't have it here in front of me, but it's WNET, I believe it is, in New York, or Boston, one or the other. And they've got an address. You know, it's up in Vermont someplace. And you write to them and send them the $30, and they're going to send you this one-hour special on Frontline, worth every dollar of it, maybe worth 10 times that. And if it educates you and you can grasp and understand the significance of the credit cards. Now, I'm not suggesting that you not use credit cards. That's a choice for you to make. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life or what to do. But the credit card industry tell us that there's about one-third of the people who have credit cards that they call deadbeats. Deadbeats. I thought that was somebody that didn't pay his bill. To a credit card company, that's somebody that pays his bill. And pays his bill every month. And so there is this famous TV or movie producer, and he's got about 25 credit cards, but he pays his credit cards off every month. Every month. So he uses the credit free because he pays the bills off every month. And he uses the convenience of the credit cards. But by paying the bill every month, he doesn't pay any interest. And, of course, the credit card company doesn't make anything. And, of course, that makes them feel real bad. And so, you know, that. They call him a deadbeat. But 30% or 33%, about a third of the people, actually pay them off. I couldn't do that. I got into that credit card thing and got the best of me. I couldn't handle credit cards. And I haven't even tried for the last 30 years. I don't know. You know, I'm an old man now. Maybe I could handle credit cards today. Maybe. But I'm a law school instructor now, and I can read contracts. I got my 10-power loop out here, and I get these offers every once in a while. And the other day, a couple months ago, you know, I got an application sent in the mail from American Express. American Express. And I said, well, look at this. And so I took out my 10-power loop, and I looked at the fine print. And I wrote down all of the notes and one thing and another, and I was just absolutely amazed. I was just shocked at the terms and conditions of the contract. I couldn't believe that anybody in his right mind would sign a contract like that. Now, of course, if you've got a credit card, you signed a contract. And it's obvious that you were not in your right mind, or you were not informed, or you didn't take the time to read the contract, you don't have to be a lawyer. Honest to God. I mean, if you've been through the third grade with Mrs. Wiles and read that contract and you still signed it, you've got to be out of your mind. Well, you could be retarded, I guess. I guess if you were retarded or out of your mind, insane, you might sign one of those contracts. Listen, if you want a little exercise in reality, why don't you just write to a credit card company and say, please send me an application. They'll send you an application, and the application has the terms and conditions on it. Not all of them, but they got, you know, a lot of them. Now, the one that really ought to get your attention, but it won't, but it ought to get your attention, is the clause that says that you agree to be bound by the banking regulations of your state. Hey, now, when you sign that contract and you agree to be bound by the banking regulations of your state, you say to yourself, well, If the bank is bound by these regulations, then it can't be bad for me because we're both bound by the same rules. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand the law. You don't understand how this game's being played. The banking regulations are written by the banks. And then they're enacted by the state legislature. And those banking regulations are there for the benefit of the banks, not the consumers, not the customers of the bank. It's called an adhesion contract in which it's a one-sided contract written by the bank for their benefit at your expense. Now, that's the way that works. But you're never going to read those banking regulations anyway, because to do that, you'd have to go down to the law library and pull out the books, and you're not going to do that. Nobody does that. In fact, in the Frontline story, they interviewed a guy there who was from the American Bankers Association. He's their president or something. A very stoic fellow, never smiled once. And the interviewer asked him, says, well, have you ever read one of these contracts? And the guy said, yeah. He said, yeah, I'm a lawyer, and so naturally I've read them. Do you understand them? And he said, well, yes, I understand them. But they're written in legalese, and they're very, I admit, this banker said, they're very hard to understand. Boys and girls, I read them, and I didn't think they were too hard to understand. I think that if you've been to the third grade and you can read on the third grade level, I think you can understand the credit card contract. And when you read the terms and conditions of that contract, if you would sign that after you read it, if you would still sign that, you should check into a mental hospital for mental evaluation. Honest to God, if you're a layman, never spent a day in law school, don't understand legalese, read the contract. You'll need a 10-power loop. So the first thing you do is go down to your local coin store and buy a 10-power loop. I just did the other day. It cost me $12. So I have a new 10-power loop, and I bring it home. It's my contract reading glasses, because the fine print. You know, I don't wear glasses, boys and girls, but I have to have a loop to read the contract from the credit card company. Now, go get yourself a loop and then read it. Now, there's going to be some things in there you don't understand. Just pay attention to what you do understand and then ask yourself, well, now that I understand that much, would I sign this contract? Would I make an agreement with somebody? Would I agree with my Uncle Bob or my Aunt Beatrice to these terms and conditions on a contract? And like I said, if you would, well, then you need psychiatric evaluation. All right, so now that's the Frontline story, and it's what you're looking for here is the series or the story that they did, not series, just a story, one-hour story on credit card companies. They'll know what you want, and they'll send it to you, and I think it's $35. Let me tell you, boys and girls, if you've got a credit card, that $35 will pale to insignificance compared to what you're paying the bank in interest. Okay. Now, we used to have a thing called usury statutes. And the usury statutes told us that 6% was the maximum charge that you could make. In the Bible, the creator of the universe prohibits usury in any amount, period. Muslims practice that. Can you believe that those dumb ragheads don't practice usury and interest? Yeah, we'll believe it, because that's the way they do business. So here are these Muslims over here who do not practice usury and interest, and here's we Americans, 65% of us going to church every Sunday. And we practice usury and interest. Now, I don't know what the Quran teaches about usury. I guess it must prohibit it. But we Americans, you know, the Christians, 95% of us here in America claim to be Christians, we don't practice the laws of our own God. Now, why is that? And our preachers are not teaching us about usury and interest from the Bible. Now, it's mentioned 23 times, by the way. Did you know that? Sure. Let me give you a couple of three. There's a law here, first of all, that says thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not steal says thou shalt not steal. There is a corollary to that, which says you shall not have in your bag unjust weights and balances. So if you look at Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36, where it tells you not to have unjust weights and balances. What is a Federal Reserve note? It's a piece of paper that costs 3 cents to make. A $100 bill out of it, which has a $99.97 profit in it. Boys and girls, if I can make something for a dollar and sell it to you for $2, that has in it what we call a keystone markup. That is, I doubled my money. Let's take $100, okay? 100 point. Then let's divide that by 0.03. The Federal Reserve Bank has a 3,333 keystone markup in their product. Well, the product called $100 bills, because it costs them 3 cents to make it. And then they sell it for $3,333.33. Now, I don't know if you knew that, and I don't know if you grasp or understand the significance of that, but that monopoly, which was granted by the Federal Reserve Act by our Congress in 1913 to this group of bankers over here, I would call a sellout, wouldn't you? I mean, the government should be making our money for us. That was the constitutional intent of our founding fathers. And they put a section into our Constitution that says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. And as a result of that, they thought that they had locked in gold and silver coin then as the medium of exchange. Little did they understand private banking. Or little did they care about it. Because in 1794, we created what was called there, 1796, the U.S. National Bank. And they had a charter for 20 years. And so it ran to 1816. It was renewed to 1836. And then it was Andrew Jackson that vetoed the banking bill in 1836, the U.S. National Bank. In 1913, it was revived, called the Federal Reserve Bank. They have that monopoly. They have total control over America. They have total control over Congress, total control of the president. In fact, the most powerful group of people in the world are called the governors of the Bank for International Settlements. I think there's about 10 or 12 of those boys. They make all policy, from all monetary policy worldwide. Bank for International Settlements, called the BIS. Okay, now, with that in mind, there is a guy out here, you know, there is one guy that has his finger on the pulse of reality. He's called God. We call him the Creator. Some people call him Allah, some call him Buddha, some call him Jesus, you know, Yahweh, and so on. Well, whatever you call this guy over here, he wrote a book called the Bible, Scripture, the Hebrew Scriptures. And in the book, he gave us some statutes. One of the statutes is thou shalt not steal. Supporting that statute, that law, he has a law here, for instance, in Deuteronomy 13 through 16. It says, you shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord your God. God calls Federal Reserve notes an abomination. People that charge interest, he calls abominations. He calls those people abominators, I guess. Now, not that that makes any difference to Christians. I mean, the average Joe Sixpack over here, you know, he goes to church on Sunday. 65% of us do in this country, but he doesn't pay any attention to these laws. And of course, the preacher that's over here teaching, you know, whatever he does on Sunday, He doesn't teach that law. You've never heard any preacher get up in the pulpit and say, let me explain geometric progression, credit cards, banks, and banking to you. Let me tell you what God has to say about this thing of usury and interest. At least I don't know of any. There might be one or two crazy lunatics out there. But it's not many. Now in Exodus 22 verses 25 through 27, now listen to this. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer, and neither shall you lay upon him usury. If you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, do you know what taking a pledge is? It's called collateral. It's against the law to collateralize a loan. Did you know that? Now go down to the bank. Go down to the title company, you know, the car title company, and tell them that you want a loan. And what's the first thing they want to know? Well, what kind of collateral are you going to put up, Joe? It's against the law to take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, and you shall deliver it to him by that the sun goes down, for that's his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he cries unto me that I will hear because I'm gracious. Now most people, you know, religious people, they can say, well, it's okay if I take his car as collateral. I just can't take his pants for collateral. When was the last time you went into a bank and said, I want to make a loan? The guy says, well, give me your coat and give me your pants. Come on, kids, give me a break, would you? Let's grow up and get real. That statute is using an example. It's against the law to collateralize a note, period. So he says, well, would you take a guy's coat? Would you take a guy's pants? Well, no. Well, then why would you take his car title? Why would you take his car? Why would you take his farm? Why would you take his home? I don't know, kids. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to tell you that that's a crime. Now the average guy looks at that and says, well, it's all right for me to borrow from the bank. It's all right for me to get a credit card from the credit card company. Excuse me, kids. Have you ever heard that there's a thing called an accessory to a crime? If it's a crime for me to burglarize somebody's house, and I take the goods from the house over to you, and I say, well, listen, let me sell you these goods. I robbed Bob's house over here, but I'm going to give you the goods. Would you sit there and say, well, it's all right for me to take these goods? It's all right for me. I didn't burglarize the guy's house. Aren't you an accessory to the burglary? Just throw that out there for your consideration. You know, an accessory before the fact or an accessory after the fact is a crime. You can't do that. Well, you can't do that when you're burglarizing houses. Why can you do that when you're borrowing money at the bank? I'm running out of time again, so I'm going to have to leave it right about there. But we'll take this up next time on the Law Hour, an editorial review, when we come back next time. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's about up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.